Boy, I gotta tell you, it's days like today that makes me wish this show was 7 hours long.
We could take Shapiro and Walsh off the air.
It's 107 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios, and it's time to fully reopen the County of Los Angeles for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, last night on Fox 11, L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger,
quite frankly,
told Marla Teas that the L.A. County Department of Public Health has got to get out of the COVID business.
It's time for public health to get back to doing what public health does, whether it be, you know, STDs that are increasing in our communities, drug and alcohol treatment is under public health. Restaurant inspections. It's time for them to focus on across the board issues, not just COVID.
Back to the roaches with you, Ferrer.
You know what? That's the sanest thing I've heard out of county government in a long time.
Yeah.
If there is anything that Barbara Ferrer is qualified to handle, it's slime in the ice machine and gonorrhea.
I have a hard time understanding.
Now, you've been doing some more digging into this Barbara Ferrer, Mark Ridley Thomas connection.
Well, they were also pictured at the same event back in October because Mark Ridley Thomas and Barbara Ferrer were some of the honored guests, as well as Sheila Kuehl, at Patty Giggins's Peace Over Violence 50th anniversary celebration. Again, Mark Ridley Thomas totally fine hanging out there taking pictures with everybody as he was awaiting trial for federal corruption charges that he is now a convicted felon for. Seven times over.
You know, usually if you're an elected official and you know that someone is likely going to prison, you treat that person like they've got cancer that's contagious. They don't want any part of convicted felons. Yet for some reason, not only was Mark Ridley Thomas invited to all of these events, he was an honored guest.
And let's not forget Barbara Ferrer kissing his ass in November of 2022 at the Charles L. R. Drew Medical School, a school where she has an honorary doctoral degree, a school that Mark Ridley Thomas is the chair of counselors for.
But I want to pay tribute to the leadership that made this happen. Your board, the dean's advisory, but particularly Dr. Proctor-Stith and Dr. Carlisle, and Mark Ridley Thomas, Supervisor Ridley Thomas, because people had to have a vision, and then they had to have the staying power.
Well, he's definitely got staying power because he'll be staying in prison.
Wait, so she's a fake doctor two times over?
And she sniffed. And I'm just very curious why she got that degree, because that is an HBCU. Just saying.
Wait a minute. Did she take that degree away from a black person?
Well, it's an honorary degree, so it's mostly made up. Just like how Holly Mitchell has a degree from that school.
Quite
that
frankly.
Is cultural appropriation.
Hey, they gave one to Fauci, too.
Well, that's definitely cultural appropriation.
I don't know if there's anything there, but I think it's time people start looking.
And look, we will do. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is the Professor of Political Science Emeritus at California State University at Fullerton, Professor Barbara Stone. Welcome.
John, you two are having much too much fun.
It's a good day.
Mark Ridley Thomas convicted on seven different felony counts of different forms of public corruption. What's your reaction?
That George Gascon had nothing to do with this. This was a federal case, which is good. It didn't run through our friendly local prosecutor. John, what I actually think on this, by the way, you realize he was acquitted on more counts than he was convicted. This is a very difficult thing for a jury because under federal law, there's a federal law that you are entitled to honest services. It's an intangible right. The law was originally written to prevent or punish government corruption. So it was about stuff like this. But by the time we've ended up with a court decision, then a congressional amendment, then another court decision, it says that it can be an exchange of, it's about tangible or intangible property but that fraud, bribes, or kickbacks have to be involved to convict somebody. So what they did was convict him on the ones where they could prove this was, well, the kickback is the easiest by far. I do this for you, you do this for me. And I honestly believe a lot of these are hard to prove, but not when it's your kid.
It seems to me that he and everyone around him thought that he would beat these charges because
yes.
He was an honored guest at all of these events. They did not hide him in the back of the room. He was prominently featured and given thanks from the podium. And he is a guy who fully expected to return to his seat on the city council. His staff remains there. He was drawing a salary. I would imagine he planned on running for some other office after he was termed out, as he served as an assemblyman, a state senator, a member of the Board of Supervisors, and two different stints on the city council. This was a guy who was very confident in his position.
Well, my dear, and the people around him, didn't two of his either current or former colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, one of whom was Janice Hahn, testify at trial that there was nothing wrong with this. They do this kind of thing all the time, helping out constituents. I think it's so close to what they do all the time that I'm sure you're right, and it never occurred to any of them he would be convicted. Now, what they clearly were not counting on was how desperate the SC Dean of Social Work was for a variety of reasons, and I speak sadly as an SC graduate multiple times. That school was in deep financial problems. Under the former president, the schools were supposed to raise their own money. She didn't have it. Her job was on the line. And there were emails not just between her and him, but between her and her staff, between and among her and her staff. And that clearly from her end, this was a quid pro quo. You get those appointment papers through. I don't care if he hasn't applied. You know, that kind of thing. So I think the general group out there wasn't really thinking about the evidence that would come from the fact that the Dean of Social Work clearly regarded this as a quid pro quo. So all you have to do is look at his stuff and see did he. And the fact it was his child, the fact that that child was desperately in need of something to do since he just had quit his job in the legislature, and the timing was just stank, that I think they just really didn't put it all together about, maybe this went over a line even more than we usually do.
Do you think from his point of view, he thought everything was kosher because this was not a suitcase full of cash?
Yes.
This was involving a university that is well regarded in the community and a school that he deems to be doing good work.
Yes. I mean, and if you look at it, schools like SC exist in South Los Angeles. Historically, they had better get along with the electeds from that area. Congress a little bit, LA City a lot, Board of Supervisors a lot. That's where, by the way, you explain the stuff with Karen Bass. That wasn't a quid pro quo. It's they were keeping her happy with things she would like because they need those folks on their side. Otherwise, they don't survive. And they all do it so much that I suspect it didn't cross his mind that it was the specific timing with specific job. I focus on the job, not the degree, for his specific child. The money running to SC right then that the dean clearly, as I say, saw as a quid pro quo, it didn't occur to him that he'd stepped over the line, probably because he doesn't think there is a line.
And he's been in so long, And you look at the city council, you look at all of the ethical problems that they've had, where they've had multiple people go to prison or awaiting prison. The Board of Supervisors has had a lot of problems, and county government in general in recent years. The state legislature has certainly seen any number of their members and former members go to prison or be brought up on ethics charges, either in the legislature or in the court system. So from his point of view, I'm sure I'm not as bad as Leland Yee. I'm not as bad as the Calderons. I'm not as bad as fill in the blank. So what I'm doing is completely ethical compared to what's all around me.
You know what that is, and it's an interesting observation. It's a version of what they, well, was referred to as the difference between honest graft and dishonest graft. Dishonest graft is when you take money to do something that you really shouldn't do, but you're doing it for the money. Honest graft is when you take something to do something that's good for everybody, for the community. So as you say, I'm doing good. And I think they think honest graft is just fine.
How nervous do you think Sheila Kuehl is right now and other members of elected government who behave the same way? I mean, you look at what Sheila Kuehl did with that contract with Peace Over Violence and the MTA. That episode got Biden's nominee for the FAA to pull his nomination. It's no big deal in Los Angeles, and no one treated it as if it was a five-alarm fire. But in Washington, D.C., Sheila's corruption got a man who everyone thought would sail through the FAA on the sidelines.
Yes, but of course, if you followed that those hearings at all, the fact that he knew absolutely nothing about aviation didn't help either, did it?
No.
No. I think this would be much tougher because all she's doing is pointing out to the relevant bureaucrat how sexual assault is a problem on the trains, and how if people just know who to call, put up the number. And by the way, she happens to know this wonderful group that does that and would be happy to go along. For I might be wrong, John, please. I am not a lawyer. Thank goodness. But I think to hit her, you're going to have to find communications probably involving Philip Washington, going maybe back to her, but maybe more likely to his staff, just like I believe Ridley Thomas got done in by the dean's communications with her staff, going, the supervisor wants this. I know it's a waste of money. Give the supervisor what she wants. Then life could get more interesting. But you have to be able to prove that. Otherwise, she's just doing a public good. Women on the trains need to be warned. And these people.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm gonna be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
50 years of doing this wonderful stuff.
Let's go back and look at the timeline here, because when Mark Ridley Thomas was indicted by the feds, he was very publicly kicking around the idea of running for mayor. Had he run for mayor, he certainly would have occupied the lane that was then taken over by Karen Bass. When Karen Bass announced that she was running for mayor, she acknowledged that Mark Ridley Thomas taking a pass was a huge part of her decision, that if he ran, she likely would have been supporting him. We very easily, had this indictment not taken place when it did, could be looking at a mayor of Los Angeles convicted of corruption.
And then you'd have to back off going, the new mayor is better than Eric Garcetti, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
Actually, the answer is yes, of course, you could have, although assuming that he was going to be indicted, you'd have to be pretty late. Well, he'd have had to be elected, I think. Well, I think so. I think, well, just the indictment wasn't enough to keep him from it. So the timing would have had to be really, really different. And we're already many years out, not many years, but a number of years out from the facts of the story. So I agree with you completely. He'd have occupied the lane. But, yeah, you'd have a mayor, and then you have to ask yourself, what does the mayor of L.A. do and how much difference does it make? Having said that, you should be very careful and go look at that city council that would run crazy, and maybe it's just as well that didn't happen.
Mark Ridley Thomas is currently on the city council, but much of the activity that was discussed at the trial took place when he was in county government serving as a supervisor. Who does this conviction reflect more poorly on, county government or city government?
Well, he did it while he was a supervisor. Let's put it this way. At least as a supervisor, he had to have some cover of public good and this, that, or the other. Heck, if you're on the L.A. City Council, you just take the bribe. Although in this case, I'm trying to think. I don't think it would have made the slightest bit of difference, John, except that I don't know if L.A. City, given how much they divide the pot, would have had quite the level of contracts that could have been sent to the SC School of Social Work. That I just don't know enough about.
One of the things that they're discussing now at the county level that Holly Mitchell and Lindsay Horvath are really pushing is to expand the size of the Board of Supervisors. They say five supervisors isn't enough. We need much more than that. You look at the corruption that exists right now, when there's only five of them that the news media and the watchdogs have to keep an eye on, can you imagine what would happen if there were 20 of them or 30 of them or 50 of them?
Oh, the answer is I can imagine easily. Go look at the L.A. City Council, okay? And just take that and ratchet it up a little bit, and you've gotten it. And they're just a few, well, I actually like the idea that within a given area, you have a person who's responsible for the overwhelming majority of what goes on. Now, the fact that the public doesn't know they have that supervisor and the public doesn't pay attention, which you've been talking about, that's the public's fault. That's not the structural problem. And to get more of them, dear Lord, think of what you would get. Now, I will say this, if you want to annoy the people who want to expand it, just tell them you think that's fine, but we already spend plenty of money on executive overhead for the county, so you just take the money currently being spent on the five supervisors, and you divide that money, not new money, that money, among however many you want, and that will kill the idea.
Professor Barbara Stone, Professor of Political Science Emeritus at California State University at Fullerton, thanks so much for stopping by today and loaning us your expertise.
Okay, John, bye.
Today is so busy, Randy, I feel like I'm getting whiplash.
Weather whiplash.
So late last night, you sent me a text message after I had already gone to bed, Randy.
I figured you'd wake up to a nice surprise.
Oh, and boy, did I. Because Nathan Fletcher, the embattled supervisor in... Oh, boy, I just saw that Lorena Gonzalez has me blocked now. I was referring back to her tweet. You're going to have to read it because I'm now blocked.
Oh, boy. Let me pull up my text thread to you from this morning.
Boy, that was fast.
You mean the tweet that only her friends can reply to? And even one of those friends started nothing but laughing emojis saying, bitch, please?
Yes.
So, last night, Nathan Fletcher announced from rehab, presumably, that he is now planning on resigning from the County Board of Supervisors in San Diego, but not immediately, effective at the end of his medical leave. That was kind of weird. And then a few minutes later, Lorena Gonzalez quote tweets her husband and puts out the following that John can't read because she blocked him. I love my husband. He has acknowledged his mistakes, and I believe his name will be cleared of false accusations. Still, I asked him to resign to lessen the strain on our family. I'm relieved he's finally getting the treatment he needs. Thank you to everyone who has reached out today. And like I said, only people that can reply to this tweet are people that are friends of hers that she follows. And so it's a lot of big hugs. You're so brave. I love you. Except for Susan, who follows her, who was allowed to comment, who put 15 laughing emojis and saying, "Bitch, please, living with you drove Fletch straight to unadulterated predation. Karma," and it couldn't have happened to a nicer family.
Okay, I think he blocked me from rehab too because I can't find his tweet.
You're on their radar.
Well, I was tweeting them this morning. Can you read his resignation tweet?
Yes, sure I can. So this is what he put out, which apparently he's tweeting from rehab, which I thought you're not supposed to do because that's detrimental to your recovery to be sitting on social media all day. "The strain on my wife and family over this past week has been immense and unbearable. A combination of my personal mistakes plus false accusations has created a burden that my family shouldn't have to bear. I will be resigning from the Board of Supervisors effective at the end of my medical leave. I will focus solely on getting healthy and being a good husband, father, and friend." And then it's the thank you awards for what a great job everyone has done. But doesn't it seem a little strange that if these are false accusations, that he'd be resigning from office?
Okay, a couple of points. I want to piggyback on something that you just said. According to what they've put out, he's in rehab. One of the things that they make you do when you go to rehab is they make you turn in your phone, they make you turn in your laptop, they don't let you bring a computer, no iPads, because you're not there to talk to the bad crowd that got you hooked on the alcohol and the drugs to begin with. They want you there so you can work on you, and they don't want you talking to people on the outside world. So, either he's not in rehab, and he lied to us, and he's some other place in an undisclosed location, and that's where he's doing all of the tweeting and blocking. Or he snuck a device into the rehab, and he's making even more of a mockery of rehab than Gavin Newsom did, and he's tweeting the whole time he's supposed to be in group therapy. Or there's a third and most likely scenario, which is that some other party is tweeting on his behalf. And if some other party is tweeting on his behalf, I don't believe it's his staff because they were clearly caught by surprise. I think two or three of them have already resigned.
Yeah, that happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and including, I think, his communications person who would, in theory, be the one that would be running social media. I think Lorena Gonzalez is the one that's tweeting out on his account.
So you believe, and it's definitely possible, that if he went into rehab and he's out of state, that she has his phone and she has hacked into his Twitter account and is tweeting on his behalf, and it's very possible that she resigned for him.
She definitely seems like the kind of wife that would go through the spouse's phone, especially if they're a tomcat and they have a wandering eye, which clearly he does. But now that he's in rehab and he can't bring the phone in with him, I absolutely believe that she is the one that's sending out all of these tweets.
Oh, somebody somewhere has to be able to give me a location, because you're supposed to be able to track someone's location from where they've tweeted, because social media is tracking you all the time. And someone should be able to find out if this tweet that was posted at 10:30 at night last night, which is after lights out at most rehabs, came from out of the state, or if it came from San Diego County.
Think about this for a second. If he's at some rehab facility on the East Coast, let's say they sent him to Florida, he's in Palm Beach, and they took away all of his forms of communication from him. So he has no phone, no laptop, no means of communication. and she's the one in San Diego with the phone, and she just resigned as him. He may have just
named one of the best personal finance podcasts. The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Publicly resigned as supervisor, and he may not even know it. Because unless someone at the rehab facility said, hey, I was looking on my social media account and I saw that you resigned. Do you have a phone in here? That's the only way he would know. Do they let you hang out with your friends and family in rehab? I don't know.
You're not supposed to, especially if, you know, certain members of your family are the reason you started your addiction.
Okay, so if he's legit in rehab and he's not talking to friends or family and he doesn't have his phone, then there's no way he does know that he just resigned from office. And here's the other giveaway. If you noticed, he didn't say, I resign immediately. He said, I resign after I get out of rehab. If you're Lorena and you have to put his sorry ass on your insurance policy, then you want to stick the county with the bill and not your insurance policy.
Yeah, how does it make any sense to announce you're resigning after your medical leave so the county and California is beholden and has to pay for his rehab?
It's not like he's hanging on for a couple of months because there are critical votes that he needs to participate in. He is strictly hanging on for the health insurance. He's not going to ever vote again. He's done. He's claiming that he's going to resign the moment he steps off of the property at the rehab facility. So that doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Johnny, you know that tweet from Lorena Gonzalez?
Yeah.
The one where only people who she follows can respond?
Yes.
She's been hiding some of the replies. Which means,
how can you hide replies?
Apparently, you can, when you have your account set up the way she does, if someone comments and you don't like it, you can hit hide reply. But then there's a button that says hidden replies. And some of the hidden replies are false accusations, typical politician rhetoric. I predict a divorce filing in 3, 2, 1. I hope this ends both of your corrupt, disrespectful runs as public officials. Yikes on bikes. Didn't you get him via adultery too? The texts are out there.
Fact check true.
These are people she follows.
Well, it's all coming down for them. And think about this for a second too. He was a member of the Board of Supervisors in San Diego County. We're not talking about Mayberry here. San Diego County is a big, important county. And being on the Board of Supervisors, as we've been discussing with Mark Ridley Thomas, is an extremely powerful position. It's extremely powerful for a number of reasons. One of which is all three branches of government reside at the Board of Supervisors. They're a legislature, they're an executive, they're a judicial. They can do all three functions. The other thing that makes them powerful is that you only have to get to 3 votes to get anything done. In Congress, you have 435 members of the House. You have 100 members of the Senate. In the state legislature, you have 80 members of the Assembly and 40 members of the Senate. You really have to twist a lot of arms. You've got to cajole a lot of people. At the Board of Supervisors, you need yourself and 2 others, and that's it. If government is what excites you, and you're on the Board of Supervisors, you can do more in that position than you can virtually anywhere else. It's why none of them ever leave. It's why Sheila Kuehl leaving the Board of Supervisors with 1 term of eligibility left was a giant red flag. You don't just give up that kind of power. You work your entire career to accumulate it so you can enrich yourself and your friends. Who would give that up? But Nathan Fletcher is giving that up to run for the state Senate, where you're one half of one third of the government? Nobody does that.
It's interesting. He just won that re-election, too, and immediately said, I'm running for the state Senate.
You get paid less to go up to Sacramento. You have to travel. You have to maintain two residences. It's a no-brainer. If you have an option to be on the Board of Supervisors over the state Senate, that's an easy putt. But think about it this way. The wife, Lorena, is president of the California Federation of Labor. Her negotiations take place at the state level, not the county level. So if he's going to be useful to her, then he's better off in Sacramento than in San Diego. And if you're married to that, wouldn't you want to be in a different city half the time? I would. Are you kidding me? I would burn tracks in the road to the airport. She'd never see me. I'd get my mail at the Admiral's Club. I'd eat my meals at the Admiral's Club. I'd take my showers at the Admiral's Club. I'd eat every single peanut that Mr. Peanut has ever produced. I'd have the frequent flyer miles. I'd have the credit card. Everyone at the DoubleTree by the airport would know me by name, including the people that park the cars, which is what he's qualified to do. There's no way I'd be at home on that Board of Supervisors having to look her in the face every night. Zero chance. In fact, I'd want to be the ambassador to India. I wouldn't have to see her for 4 years.
His campaign website's still up, by the way.
Along with all the endorsements, all of these geniuses down there who thought that he'd be a great state senator, including the mayor.
Todd Gloria, we're looking at you, and he's already trying to not answer questions about this.
Think about that town. Bob Filner used to be the mayor. And everyone thought, because he groped everyone that he came into contact with, that they couldn't do any worse than that. He's having sexual relations with people at MTA meetings.
Well, it's not consensual.
Well, I mean, it shows you what kind of pervert he is. What's erotic about hearing about drug overdoses? Oh, no. I'll tell you this. Mark Ridley Thomas got convicted today. But the one who's warming up in the bullpen is Nathan Fletcher. And yes, I'm looking at you, Lorena. You may have me blocked, and that may make you feel better. But guess what? If you intimidated this victim, if you used your power to prevent this victim from coming forward to the police with allegations of sexual assault, then you're going to get yours too. And Randy, don't we have a new statement from the attorney representing the accuser?
Oh, yes, we do. I'm going to have to find it. But yes, the lawyer for the accuser, the woman who worked for Metro in San Diego that accused Nathan Fletcher of repeatedly harassing her, fondling her, and assaulting her. And then as soon as he decided to run for state Senate, she was fired from her job. She is claiming that they're falsely accusing my client of extortion. They're trying to publicly defame my client. They call out Lorena Gonzalez right then and there.
And Lorena Gonzalez serves at the pleasure of the California Federation of Labor. So she's not an elected official per se, but she certainly is a public official. And if the heat gets too hot, they're going to want to cut bait with her. Right now, they can't salvage his political career. He's done. So what I think they're trying to do is they're sacrificing him to the gods with the hopes of maintaining her position and her power at the California Federation of Labor. But there's no way you can have this scandal out there with the details that we know, and not have her go down with the ship, too.
And I don't really know how it works if you're in charge of the Federation of Labor and you are out there publicly calling a woman who is accusing someone who worked over her of harassment and assault. You're calling her a liar. That doesn't look good for all the laborers you're supposed to be representing.
No, you're supposed to be looking out for the average working Joe. And if the average working Joe is getting molested on the clock, that's a problem. And it doesn't matter if your husband's the one that's doing it, allegedly.
So I believe all women except this one who's a whore.
Ah, the asterisk.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.